Hey everybody, Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Perceptive Photographer. We're at episode 99, so next week we'll be hitting episode 100 and starting off our month of interviews for the month of February. And I'm really excited about that. I think there's some wonderful interviews lined up. I'm really excited about some of the material that's come out of those interview processes to this point, and I think you'll find them really interesting and insightful. Don't forget, for the interviews, they run a little longer than 10 minutes, so if you're used to the 10 to 12 minutes for this podcast, most of those interviews run between 30 and 45 minutes, so make sure you plan accordingly if you're listening to that. Shorter time frame, this is something to think about going forward. This week, like I mentioned in last week's podcast, is I've had a number of people send me questions over the last 6 months, a year. Some of them I've addressed in the podcast already, some of them I haven't. So I thought I'd answer just some of those kind of reoccurring questions that people have asked me over and over again. I've tried to avoid the really technical kind of questions, as I think it's a little difficult to cover those in a podcast without incorporating any kind of video or anything like that. The first one I've kind of bundled into two. I get asked what my favorite camera is and what my favorite photographer is a lot. And as for the favorite camera, that's a tough one because I do a number of different processes, but I think if I had to pick one, I absolutely love my 4x5 camera. It's an Ebony camera. The company is no longer in existence, but it's a beautiful camera. And a number of years ago, I sold a business to a business partner to pursue a different track in my career. And I used some of that money to actually buy that camera. And it's one of the times where I really knew what I wanted. I'd always kind of looked after that camera. And I actually just love the look and the feel of that camera. I love getting to shoot that camera. So there's just such a great physical response I have when I'm getting to work with that camera, that I think if I had to pick one that was my favorite, it's my Ebony 4x5. However, that being said, you know, I absolutely love the camera that I'm working with. I don't keep cameras that I don't like to shoot with. So I've bought and sold cameras over my lifetime, and I think that's one of the important lessons. If it's not a camera that you're comfortable with and a camera you're using all the time, you probably just want to get rid of it. You really should love the equipment you're shooting with, whether it's shooting video on a C100 from Canon, or shooting a Nikon D5, or shooting a 100-year-old pinhole camera, whatever it is, it should just give you a great feeling. Similar to that, for my favorite photographer, that's such a hard question because I absolutely love so many different genres of photography, and so it's hard to, you know, find one that fits in there. You know, in street photography, Jamel Shabazz's work right now is just absolutely stunning. I love Robert Frank's work, Cartier-Bresson's work. I love Cindy Sherman's work, Nan Golden's work. So there's just a lot of different photographers that I love in the landscape space. You know, there's from Jack Dikinga to Ansel to Edward. There's just so many out there. And I also know a lot of photographers. I've been blessed to actually get to meet a lot of my heroes and idols over the years. A lot of those photographers really kind of had a huge influence on me. But I think right now the photographer that I'm really kind of most engaged with is William Albert Allard, or Bill Allard. I've had the privilege of getting to meet Bill several times and, you know, really get to look at his work, talk to him a lot about photography, go hang out at the bar together. And I think for me, you know, what I've learned from Bill from a sense of seeing behind the camera is absolutely unprecedented in terms of that quality. And the same thing, John Paul Caponegro, also in terms of my creativity and pushing my work forward, he's a pretty hard person to beat in my world for that kind of experience. So those are, I think, you know, probably two very long answers to not ultimately answer that question. The next question I get asked a lot is, how do I know when to print a photograph? So I've talked a lot about printing and how I think the print is actually really important in photography. It's the materiality of the object. It's actually when it becomes a photograph. And so how do I know when to actually print something, whether I'm looking at a negative or I'm looking at something on the screen? And I think that's a great question. The short answer of that is, I decide what I'm going to print when I want to see it as a print. And I know that sounds kind of flippant, but at the end of the day, sometimes I'm looking at a computer screen, or I'm looking at contact sheets or negatives, and I actually just want to see what that looks like when it's put to paper. And so at the end of the day, that's what I decide to do, is I decide I want to see it on paper. And I think the big challenge for that is I don't really think about the cost. I think that's the one barrier for people, is printing is expensive. You print on really nice paper, it's expensive. You print on silver gelatin paper, it's expensive. And we think about how much it costs to actually get that print out. But the print is so informative to the feedback of how you actually create your work and how you understand your work, that I don't think there's a more important thing you can do than print. So in many cases, I'm actually just printing oftentimes just to teach myself about the photograph, what it does, and how it works. So printing really comes down to, it's an interest in seeing the work, it's an interest in learning and understanding, and it's a curiosity that just has to be fed and scratched because I really want to see how that image looks. Along those lines, the other question I get sent to me was, how do I know when an image is finished? This is probably one of the most interesting questions, because in some ways, when we shot slide film, an image was finished in some ways when we actually took the photograph. It actually appeared on the chrome, everything was kind of set. But when we look at working in the dark room, we look at looking in the digital dark room, we have this almost infinite number of options that we have to create and process the image. And that challenge is really difficult. I think it's one of the hardest things to do is to know when to limit your options and how something's actually done. Part of that comes from spending time looking at the image and seeing how does the image feel? How do we respond to the image? How do we want to experience the image? And that helps us understand some of the elements for dodging and burning and color correction and things like that. Also, is the light and color, are those plausible and believable within the photograph? Do they move the eye the way I want? Do we have the experience the way they want? And what's interesting about plausible is I don't necessarily mean that's real. I just mean when we look at the photograph, do we believe the construct of the photograph? You know, even if we look at a Salvador Dali painting, as surreal as it is, as liquid as it might be, do the shadows make sense? Does the context make sense? So no matter what the image is, no matter what the photograph is, I'm looking for that plausibility element. When it starts to feel plausible, I kind of consider that to be finished. And then there's subtle finesse nuance things I look at. Is the nuance of the print finished? Does it feel like it's got the textures, the tones, the colors that I want? And then again, just like I said before, I actually print that. And then I live with that print. And if it's not right, then I move on. The other thing that's interesting about this is the better you get at printing, the more you print and the better you get, you may come back to work you printed a year, two, three, four, 5 years ago and reprint it with a new eye because you're so much better at it. You may actually reinterpret and reevaluate what being done means in the print. Another question I got sent this week, which I think was really interesting, was what piece of advice do you wish you had earlier in your creative process? As I sat down to really think about that answer, it came down to two things. It came down to forgiveness and discipline. One of the things that I think a creative process has is, and I've talked about this before, the people who are really creative get up every day and they work. They get up and they work at their art, they work at their craft, and they do it on a pretty regular basis. They're disciplined about that work. And I didn't always have that discipline, and I don't still, in many ways, have that discipline. So the piece of advice I would have is to get that discipline down so that I've got that creative focus, so that I'm able to stay engaged with my work. And even in those times when it starts to feel like nothing's happening, I may have developed the habit that allows the work to continue forward rather than just trying to struggle to make it happen. And the forgiveness side is because I'm not always disciplined, I've beat myself up over the years for not carrying a camera with me every day or not photographing when I should or not going out and taking photographs like I should or like I think I should. And the forgiveness that everybody's unique in their creative process, everybody responds to things differently. So whether it's reading a book, writing in a journal, or actually picking up the camera, if it's going back into the darkroom, whatever it is, those all contribute to my understanding of my own photography. So the forgiveness there to not really get down on myself and create a weight on my shoulders unnecessarily by being overcritical of what I believe I should have done versus what I actually did. Another question I got, I've been asked and had to answer a couple of times in the last couple of months, is what do I think the biggest challenge facing photographers today is? And what's interesting about that is when you read a lot of the pop media stuff, you read about the changes in copyright law, you read about the free usage and people stealing your images, and then you read about all the technical changes. But for me, at the end of the day, I think the biggest challenge facing photographers is really a in-depth understanding of their work and why they create their work. Because it's so easy to get caught up in social media likes, it's so easy to get caught up in creating work just because it's what we're interested in or it's the fad of the day, but to be committed and create a long-term voice, vision, style, whichever one of those words you want to apply in, but finding who you are and transmitting that through the work, I think is probably the biggest challenge facing photographers. Being really committed to being who you are and transmitting that through your work. Which leads to the last question I was asked that I think was worth talking about this week, which is, how do you know how much of yourself to put into your work? And this came about because we were having a conversation, particularly around the shift in the political landscape here in the United States with the election of Donald Trump and a lot of artists responding to that. How much of themselves should they put into their work? How much of themselves do they apply into their work? And I think it's one of the probably the most interesting aspects of art is I don't think you can fight who you are. I think you can, but you end up being struggled and creatively blocked because you're not being ultimately who you are. But if who you are is passionate and committed around a certain issue, around a certain idea, around a certain belief, whether it's religious belief, political belief, social belief, that's got to come through your artwork. And if you don't ultimately commit to creating the meaningful work in your artwork, you're always going to be dissatisfied with the work you create. Now, your work may not be the greatest work ever. It may not be the most greatest political statement ever. It may not be the greatest environmental statement ever. But if you're passionate and committed to something, you absolutely have to put yourself into the work. And on some level, you can easily gauge that, because if you're creating work that you're afraid of, that you're afraid of how people are going to respond, you're afraid of what your friends might think, you're probably starting getting closer to an edge of creating something significant and meaningful to you. And that allows that dialogue to happen. Because at the end of the day, remember, what we ultimately want to have with our art is we want to create a dialogue so that we can move ourselves forward, our society forward, in ways that allow us to express these ideas and challenge the ideas that we don't believe in and reinforce the ideas that we do. It's that combination of things that I think is really important. So it's critical that you put yourself into the work. And like I said, the more scary it is, probably the more truth there is in your work, and you'll find the significance there. Like a lot of photographers, the other thing that may happen there is you may not see what that is or realize that you're actually even doing that work until you look back at your work. So one of the other things that I think is important there is to look back at the work you've created over the last several years or the last several months or the last several weeks. But that reflection back becomes really insightful into, are you putting yourself into your work or not? And if you find that the work is just not compelling to you, you just don't feel connected to it, chances are you are on some level mailing it in and you're not really putting who you are into the work. And that would be a great place to start. So I think those were some great questions. I really appreciate you guys actually asking those questions and sending them on. You've given me a lot to think about. Hopefully these answers have provided you some things to think about. With next week's podcast, episode 100, we're going to be doing the interview month for February. I'm really excited about that. The first interview is actually with my partner in crime, Lori Kane, who's a poet and a writer and an amazing creative person. And I really wanted to talk to her about the nature of language and vocabulary. And being a poet and a writer, those are so strong to her. And we've talked about how those can apply into photography. So I want to talk about that. And then also how she fuels her creative process to create books and post online and do all sorts of things like that. So that'll be next week's podcast. I hope you have a wonderful week behind the camera. I hope you find lots of inspiration. I hope you're able to get out there and do amazing things. Don't forget, you can always find us on iTunes and subscribe to us there. That'd be great. Or you can find us on the web at www.theperceptivephotographer.com. And I will see you next time.